welcome, everyone. If you're brand new to Open Door, I just want to say welcome on behalf of our team here, Tony, Joe, and I, and all our wonderful leaders and volunteers here at the church. It's good to have you. PJ, thank you for being here and for bringing some of the families with us. We had such a great day yesterday. It was so awesome. And God is uniquely designed our church in this area, in this building, for such a time as this. Can I get an amen to that? Amen. Honestly, because, and I feel that way about any church in any community, that God has a plan for that church. And we're pretty unique in that we've got this old YMCA vibe. And God's going to use it like he's been using. And can I just say that's a parable for your life and mine? That God has uniquely designed you, and you might say to yourself, well, what can I do? I can barely get around, or I can't speak well, or I can't think well. It doesn't matter. God can use you exactly the way that he's made you for his glory. Believe it. And he's put you in the relationships and the places that he's got for you by his design and his doing. Amen? And so I want you to see that as we get into this today. And one example I've seen in my life that I never saw coming was that God would plant me with all my faults and all my foibles working at a Chick-fil-A. Okay, some of you know this and some of you don't know this, but I work part-time at Chick-fil-A. Okay, not like full part-time, but like 4 hours a week part-time. Okay, no, 3 hours a week, sorry. But I'm probably there more because I eat a lot of chicken. But I work there, and I'm actually the chaplain for the organization in Lorain. And so this came about, it's a long story, but again, uniquely designing me for that purpose, I've been praying for 5 years that God would give me opportunity to be in the community where people are. And you can't ask for any better of a situation for me as a guy who loves to talk and be around people than to be plopped in Chick-fil-A and say, okay, if they need to talk to somebody, you're the guy. Go around and talk to the customers. Go around and talk to anybody you want to. Okay, sounds great. All right, and I love it. And Nisi Otero gave me the nickname Chicken Chaplain, so you guys can call me that. And so it's actually on my name tag. When you come see me at Chick-fil-A on Thursday afternoons, that's where I'm at. But as I was motoring about Chick-fil-A this week, I was thinking about something. And in light of giving us an illustration that helps us understand what Jesus is talking about in our text today, I want to show you something, okay? This beautiful garbage can right here, if I can get this to work. Why is it not working? Here we go. Okay, go to the next slide. There it is. Okay, there it is. All right, we've all seen this garbage can. It's on the way out the door as you go from the counter, right? And we've seen garbage cans like this. You throw your stuff in there, and it doesn't take long. And you see that the garbage gets to the top. Now, at a fast food establishment, why is that the case, that it happens quickly? Why? Because you got all these cups that are kind of empty, vacuous spaces, right? You've got all these cartons and all that. And all of it just builds up really quickly. And so wouldn't it be nice if somebody could just come along and squish it all down, right? Well, that's exactly what they thought of. And you'll see there's two of these at the Chick-fil-A. And what are these? They look like something out of, I don't know, Space 1999 or something, like a little robot, right? But when it's going the yellow thing, what's happening, it does the little yellow light, it's actually compacting. So somebody thought about this. Somebody thought, we're wasting a lot of money, and we're having all this garbage, all these garbage bags go out that really aren't full. And so let's get this thing to squish it all down and compact it. And it does it several times so that, and I've done this because my philosophy is, if people don't want to talk to me because they're not used to me yet, we're not comfortable, well, then I'm going to come here and I'm going to serve. I'm not here to be served, but to serve. So I've emptied these things before, okay, because I've got nothing else to do because no one wants to talk. So I'm emptying garbage and cleaning, right? And so as I'm doing that, man, you pull that thing out, it's heavy. I mean, so think about this when you guys are dumping your stuff in there. It gets heavy after a while. And so the nice thing is that then you're packing your dumpster better, you're saving money on bags and all that. Why? Because it's being squished down, all the spaces are being compacted. So keep that in mind as we talk about what Jesus has to say today, because this is probably the closest thing in our culture I could think of to help us understand what he's going to talk about today. But the truth of the matter is, we do all have garbage, right, folks? If we do a hard look inside our hearts, inside our lives, we're all carrying around some trash that we could use to maybe evaluate a little bit and say, you know what, maybe it's time for me to take out the trash. And this is exactly what Jesus was doing as he was talking to believers, he was talking to disciples in the Sermon on the Plains, and he was trying to expose for them, this is what the kingdom of God looks like. This is the heart of God. This is the character of God. And if you're going to get close to God, if you're going to know who God is, he wants you to know his heart. And we, as his followers, are going to have to deal with the garbage in our life. But we're not alone in that effort. God has provided everything we need, not only to be forgiven of that garbage, but also to deal with it as we grow in Christ. So we're going to talk about that today. And that's exactly what Jesus is doing as we grow in this expansion of knowing what love looks like according to God, expanding your view of love. This is our last sermon in that series. And my question for you this morning, though, is are we measuring up to Jesus' standard? Are we measuring up to what Jesus is laying out in this text for us? Some of you that maybe have not been along for the whole ride, I want to just kind of quickly bring you up to speed. Jesus says at the beginning of the speech or of the sermon, are we listening? Am I listening? Jesus basically says, you know, those of you that are willing to listen, that are willing to hear, then I have something to tell you. And so are we even listening? That's part of the standard, is that our ears are open, ready to apply. Secondly, are we loving is a big question Jesus asked in this sermon. Are we loving? You know, maybe we love those who love us, but Jesus pushes it and says, no, love the person that is the most different from you. And then even further, love those that hate you, those that persecute you. I want you to love your enemies and do good to them. This is huge. So are we loving well? And then how about this? Are we resembling our Father in heaven? Jesus says that when you love well, when you forgive, and when you do all these things, and guess what? You're just doing what my Father does. As he sends rain, as it says in Matthew 5, he sends rain on the wicked and the just. He shines his sun on all people. He's not deciding to just send sun to some and rain to others, but he loves and sends it equally. Are we resembling the heart of our Father? And finally, what are we doing? What are we doing? Jesus has the most familiar saying in this text. He says, do unto others as you would have them do to you. So that begs the question, what am I doing unto others? And is that potentially why all this bad's coming back to me, is because I'm just dealing out bad? But Jesus says, no, don't do that. Do as you wish they would do to you, you do to them. So what am I doing? And Pastor Jim last week got into 37 and 38 and saying, and the question of what am I doing in the area of judging, in the area of forgiving, and we're going to get into that. So I want to give you a picture to get you accustomed to what Jesus talks about today. And this is actually from the first century. It's a mosaic that was around the time of Jesus. And this is a Roman servant on his knees. And what's he doing? He's digging in and he's basically filling this bushel basket with grain. And so to kind of illustrate this today, I'm kind of double it up on the illustrations. It's not only on the screen, but thanks to Apple Hill Market, I've got a few things I'm going to share with you today. And by the way, they're kind of lonely there. So go and see Raj and Jen and the folks at Apple Hill Market if you need some bulk things. I got this from them. But I've got a bushel basket here. And this is a common today what we would see for a bushel basket. But this is what was common in the day that Jesus was preaching the sermon. And we're going to get to that in a moment as you kind of get that picture in your mind of how a person would gather grain, get grain from the market or whatever, and take it to where they're going, to their home or whatever. So why don't we go ahead and stand? I want to read the text to you, Luke chapter 6, and turn to Luke chapter 6 if you have a Bible. If you don't, it'll be on the screen for you. And let's go ahead and we stand to honor, is that me? Okay, we stand to honor God's word. And so I want to just take a running start to get us where we need to be, and this will kind of wrap up what I was just talking about. So starting off with verse 35, where Jesus says, love your enemies and do good to them, lend to them without expecting to be repaid, and then your reward from heaven will be great. And then, and you will truly be acting as children of the Most High, for he is kind to those who are unthankful and wicked, and you must be compassionate just as your Father is compassionate. And that's what we just went over a moment ago. He goes on, this is what we covered last week. Don't judge others, and you will not be judged. Don't condemn others, or it will all come back against you. Forgive others, and you will be forgiven. He goes on. Forgive. This is our text for today. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. And give, and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more. Running over and poured into your lap, the amount you give will determine the amount that you get back. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Thank you so much. So now we go to our little guy here, and this is the image that Jesus bears out in this text, and I want to make sure you understand the cultural message so that it's not lost in today, in the way that we think, because this is not necessarily how we do things today. But take a look at this text again, where Jesus says, this idea of breaking it down and the measurement that God expects is something that came from the law. It says in Leviticus 19 that we should not, speaking to Israel, use dishonest standards when measuring length, weight, or volume. Your scales and weights must be accurate. Your containers for measuring dry materials or liquids must be accurate. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And then this is the idea, is that God said, listen, I want you, when you're dealing with one another, when it comes to liquids and solids and different things of volume and scales, they must be fair. So God set that, and he said, it's because I am who I am. I'm holy. And then we see Solomon kind of reiterate this in the Proverbs. He simply says, the Lord demands accurate scales and balances. He's quoting from the law. He sets the standard for fairness. I like how the NASB puts it. All the weights of the bag are his concern. Now, this is interesting. Weights in the bag, we know about that in Lake Erie. Anybody remember the story from last year about the guys that won the fishing tournament, right? Was it a perch tournament? And they were all excited, and some guys were like, man, that just doesn't add up. And so they cut the fish open, and guess what they found? Weights inside the fish. These guys are in jail now and paying fines because they did this at that tournament and other tournaments. They had to give back the big boat and all that stuff, right? See, God concerns himself with fair things. The weights of the bag are God's concern, and the justice came to those guys at just the right time. But this is a very interesting thing that we see, and that's what Jesus is talking about in this. He speaks of forgiveness and giving, and when you do that, what comes back to you in full is pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. Now, how do I illustrate that to you? Again, because we don't necessarily do this in our day and age, but let me show it to you this way, okay? So imagine that I am at the market with you, and we've got our little bushel basket, okay? And I'm feeling it cute. It's a smaller one. Somebody went, aw, it is kind of cute. Okay, so what would happen is I'm filling up my grains, and basically I'm going to press it down. And this is proper measurement according to the law. I'm going to press it down. I'm going to shake it. And what am I doing when I do that? Just like the trash compactor. I'm making room for more, right? Because I'm going to be generous like my Father in heaven is generous. And then I'm going to pour more on. I'm going to pour more on. And it says that basically I'm going to keep pouring until what happens? It is spilling over. You see how it's going over the sides now? This is kind of like how Tofts ice cream does it, by the way, okay? That's why I love Tofts. Jim, that's for you, buddy. Tofts does this. They give you so much, and that's why Tofts is the best, because people keep coming back for more. Anyway, the principles in the scripture. Anyway, so this is what a proper measurement looks like, okay? Pouring over, and I've pressed it, I've shaken it, and then now I'm ready to pour it in your lap. PJ, you ready? I'm going to pour it right in your lap, man. No, it doesn't mean I'm just going to shove it on somebody's, you know, Sunday best. No, in that day, again, I would wear a robe and an outer garment. They would take the outer garment and they would bring it up, and then I would pour it in that outer garment. You're like, gross. Well, no, it's not gross. That's how they did it. It was like a container, and then you would take that home, and that's how you carried your grain. Make sense? So that's the image that Jesus creates here. Is that this is what how it will come back to you, is this beautiful, full measurement that I have for you. And so, let me share a little truth with you today. Let me run through this real quick with you. First truth is that we see God's glory and presence filling the whole earth. If you can imagine that this room is the earth and the universe, and it's full of God's presence, which I'm going to just say is like this grain. Just imagine the whole area. This is all filling the earth. In the universe is God's presence. But there's only one place that God's presence is not going to be, except the heart of man. His glory and presence fill the whole earth and universe except the heart of man, which sounds crazy if you think about that the heart of man is empty and that the God of the universe says, I'm going to give you the choice whether or not to invite me in. That's kind of crazy. He gives us that choice. I'm not going to force my way into your life, but I'm going to say, I'm going to show you my love. I'm going to fill the universe with my love and my presence so you see me and you can find me. Look at Romans. It talks about that. But then I'm also going to create you in my image. And I'm going to create you in my image in a way that I pour some of my image upon you. And you can see that the intricacy of your body is incredible. It's not a mistake. It's not by chance that you were made. But that I am even present in the way that you are structured. And yet in your soul and your heart, you can say no to me. And that I want you to choose me out of true love, not forced love. Does that make sense? And so this is the truth. But here's the other thing. We don't measure up. We don't measure up to God's standard. You know, I mean, we think we do. We come to church on Sunday or we make ourselves look really good and we look like we're kind of spilling over. But the truth of the matter is, if I really dug around in your life a little bit, let me see what's down here. Oh, look at that. That's not grain. That's envy. Oh man, what else do I got down here? What is this? Oh my. Oh, it's spilling over now. Oh, here's lust. Okay. And if I keep digging around, I find more and more. And what happens to the level of grain? It goes down and down and down. It's kind of like that guacamole bowl at the Mexican restaurant. It looks amazing. You buy it. It's massive. And then you dip your first chip in there. And what is it? What's at the bottom? Lettuce. They bedded the lettuce. And so you really only have this much guacamole. We don't measure up. We're like the guacamole bowl. We try, but we have sin. We are stained with sin. And no matter how good our good works are, guess what? All these good works are stained by the sin that's inside of us. Okay? And so that's why we're never good enough. The Bible says that we can never measure up. None of us are good. No, not one. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, let's talk about that. The gift of God is eternal life. You see, the thing is that we don't also hold others to that just standard. That's the thing, is that we are full of sin and we offer forgiveness to others in the same manner that we kind of are, is my point. And that is that I may say, I may hold a grudge and I may be frustrated and I've got anger and bitterness in my heart, but then I in turn try to forgive you, but I hold you to an expectation that I don't even hold myself to in some cases, right? And so we have a problem with that as well when it comes to forgiveness and giving. And so God knew this. He knew that we were a mess. He knew that we needed help. And so he sent one who did measure up. He sent one that was full to the brim, pressed. He was pressed down. He was shaken up for our sake. And he was put on a cross. He did measure up. And Jesus, his death on the cross, literally pours life into us. It pours life into those who believe in him. And that's the key. It's just not an automatic pouring on every person, whether you not want him or not. No, no, no. You got to believe in what Jesus did for you on that cross. And when you believe, you are poured into by the presence of God through the Spirit. And you're given forgiveness. You're given hope. You're given peace to the fullest measure. Isn't that awesome to know? So here's my question for us today. What does measuring up look like then? When we talk about this, what does measuring up look like? Well, let's say this. First of all, you need to accept the free gift that God has given you. God has said, I give you my son, and he will take your place on that cross of punishment. He will take care of that sin and forgive all that sin that's in there that's still hidden that you don't even know about in some cases, right? He will forgive it. He will redeem you, right? You just have to accept it. And then you have to go a step further. You have to invite him to make his home in your heart. Invite him to make his home in your heart. And the reason I say this is because a lot of people believe in Jesus. They accept him as their Savior, ask forgiveness, but then they never say, okay, Lord, Holy Spirit, make your home in me. Amen. You see, God loves us so much, he does not want to leave us the way we are. This is how it happens. We accept the free gift, and maybe we dig around and we find, you know, that this sin, you know, I'm not going to drink anymore. And so that changes in my life. And I'm not going to run around with that crowd anymore. And so that changes in my life. But God looks at our heart and our life and he says, there's still a lot of work to be done. So invite me in. I want to come in. I want to help you with that, right? And I'm not making this up. This is something Jesus said. He said in John 14:23, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. And actually, Jesus is going to talk about this in Luke a little bit further down the road. My Father will love them and we will come to them and make our home with them. And so God loves us enough that he says, I want you to actually invite me in. The truth of the matter is, though, a lot of us, well, all of us are really bad house guests, right? It's kind of scary to invite the creator of heaven and earth to come in our hearts and live because it might not be so pretty. He might get around the corner and find that there's a closet that's locked. And you say, oh, Jesus, I don't want you to go in there because I know what's in there and it's not pretty. But Jesus loves us enough. God loves us enough. He says, no, I want to make my home. I want to work on that with you. And I want to rid you of that. And this is what Jesus is going to talk about today in forgiveness. And he goes around the corner and he says, oh, there's the man cave. Oh, don't go in there, Jesus. I don't want you to see what I do when I'm in there. Okay, but Jesus says, no, I'm not done with you yet. And this is the process we call sanctification. As we grow as Christians, we're never done with this. He always wants to work in our hearts and purify us and help us become more and more like Jesus. So take a look at this. This is the idea, to make us more like Jesus. We sang about it. This is the point of what he wants to dig into our lives and to help us with is to rid us of things that keep us from resembling his heart in Christ. And so that's what it's all about. And the idea that we've talked about is displaying the character of God and how you love him and how you love others. And this has really been the point of Jesus in the Sermon on the Plains has been saying, this is what my Father looks like. And this is how he wants to make you look like him. Follow me, and I'll show you the way. And so how do we love him? How do we love others? That's the question. And so back to our text, Jesus gets into it then and says, forgive. Forgiving and giving are the two things he really hits here. Forgive and you'll be forgiven. Give and you'll receive. And then your return will come back in full. And we talked about that. Press down, shaking together, make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. Now, I want to really talk a little bit about these highlighted areas because people get the wrong impression about this text. And I want to really help you see what Jesus is talking about for each of us as he does a little meddling in our lives and digs in to see where is the unforgiveness? Where is the stinginess and the tendency we have to not want to give generously like God has? He's going to get into it for us. So what does it look like to display the character of God? Well, we talked last week about judging. And judging is an interesting thing. Jesus says, no, we're not to judge. Instead, we're to forgive, okay? Rather than judging. And now here's the thing that Jim got into last week. Well, the thing is, Jesus is not saying to not judge at all, because how can I know I have something to forgive Ruthie of if I'm not judging that she wronged me, right? But there's a difference between judging and judgmentalism, where I then basically put myself up over Ruth and I pronounce judgment upon her, right? But if I've judged that I've been hurt by my brother or hurt by my sister, then my immediate response is not to get judgmental further and then go beyond that, but to forgive. First reaction, knee-jerk, forgive, forgive. And I love what that word means in the Greek. It's release. Is that cool or what? The definition in the Greek is not to forgive, it's release. And can I just say that many of us are walking around and we are prisoners. We are prisoners to our unforgiveness. We think we're free. We fill up and we look really good on a Sunday and we're overflowing. But deep down in there's unforgiveness that is keeping us in bondage. And so I want to call you out of that. The next thing that Jesus calls us to is then to not then let that judgmentalism lead to condemnation, but rather, and you can cross off condemning attitudes and say giving attitudes. We want to be giving. We want to give freely. And here's the word in the Greek. I love this too. We love this word at Open Door, surrender. That's the idea behind giving, is a surrender, that I'm giving up control, that I'm giving freely, that I'm not giving to someone my mercy and my forgiveness, but I'm holding anything back. But no, I'm leaving it unto the Lord, okay? And even in the space of what Jesus talked about in lending to the enemy, he said, give and don't expect anything back. Give without requiring them to pay anything, any interest back or anything. Just give freely. And Jesus says, surrender all that to the Father in heaven, because this is how God gives. He gives with complete surrender. He gives with complete release. And you say to yourself, well, God can do that, but I can't. Yes, you can with his help. This is what it means to be like Jesus. Because think about his life. He gave freely, with complete surrender. He laid his life down for us. No one takes my life, but I lay it down. He surrendered it, right? He released himself as he went around and not only healed people, but said, son, daughter, your sins are forgiven. He made a lot of people mad with that. But he gave that freely with boldness, and he was amazing at how he modeled release and surrender in this area. How are we doing? Jesus told a great story about this when someone asked him, how many times should I forgive? And you know the story. There was a man that was under a huge amount of debt to the king. Owed three lifetimes more than he could pay back. And he was in prison. So he came before the king, maybe on a parole hearing, I don't know what, but he got on his knees and said, please have mercy. And that king, his heart broke for him and said, I forgive you of all of it. Go back to your family. Dude goes back to his family, but before he sees his family, he finds a buddy that owed him $5, okay? And so he goes and finds this guy, and I find my buddy Hector, right? And he finds Hector, and he's choking him. And he's saying, give me my $5. And imagine that. Compared to what he was forgiven, he's going after this guy for $5. What does that even matter? And then what happens? The story goes on that he gets hauled back to the king. The king says, you wicked and unforgiving servant. How could you be forgiven of so much? And then turn around and do this. Get back to prison. The torturer is going to take care of you until you pay back every cent. And then Jesus adds this closing comment that should make all of our hearts stop for a moment. He says, so also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. Does forgiveness matter to God? Oh, yeah. That's why Jesus told stories like this. And then the parallel passage to where we're at in Luke 6 today says this. Jesus says, by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. So if when I give forgiveness to Linda, and my standard of measure is that it's filled with all my still bitterness and anger and retribution, then guess what? Linda's gonna people around me are gonna return it to me the same way. And Jesus says it's also gonna come divinely as well, that we're gonna get that from our Heavenly Father. And Jesus made this very clear. And so the point of this text, many people want to make it, the point of it is, okay, fine, I'll give you this as long as I get back. That is not the point of this text. The point of this text is this: we don't forgive and give to get, but to let go. To let go. It's not about us. It's not about us. It's not about us receiving. Some people want to call this a passage about karma. It's in your life group questions to discuss that. And to see if that's even comparable. But no, it's not about karma. If you read up about karma, karma is all about what I get. It's all about me. But let me go a step further. It's not about what I get. I don't give to get. I give to let go. And furthermore, it's not about what I get. It's about what God gets. God gets the glory. God gets the praise. God gets the honor. Think about that unforgiving servant. What a different story that would have been had that servant become the forgiving servant and gone out and found and run into that guy. And I see Hector and I'm like, dude, I guess what just happened to me? I forgive you. And as a matter of fact, I only got $5, but here's my shoes and here's my hat. Take them. They're worth at least $5 or $10. And I'll give you more later. And I'm going to go tell my wife and kids what happened. And this guy goes all around telling people what the king did for him. Who would get the praise? Who would get the glory? The king would. And people would be amazed at the generosity and the grace of the king. Boy, I wish that story was called The Forgiving Servant. Wouldn't that be awesome? But that's why Jesus told it to us, is so that we can see and catch a vision for the kind of person he wants us to be. Isn't that awesome? So we need to, all of us, up our measurement to God's standard. We have got to up our measurement to God's standard. How do we do that? Well, in Christ, he's forgiven and given to the fullest measure, folks, and he's poured it into our laps. May we never forget what we've been forgiven of. That was the point the king made to the servant. We have been given. Jesus was pressed down, shaken, and then overflowing with grace and truth, and he's been poured into our hearts. Never disconnect from that moment when you realize with all your heart what God's done for you. And when we live out of that moment, we live in it, and if you've gotten numb to it, ask God to return you to that place. Ask God to fire your heart up again about what he's forgiven you of. Amen? And so We have been given to the fullest measure. And a beautiful picture is found in Ruth chapter 3. We studied this book before, if you want to go back in the sermons and hear them. But this is Boaz. This is the Christ figure in the book of Ruth. Boaz is the kinsman redeemer to this woman, Ruth. Ruth is a Moabite. She's not in the promise. She's not a Jew. And so she should be rejected and sent out of Israel. And yet Boaz, the Christ figure, looks at her and sees how good her character is and what she has done for her mother-in-law, who she's not abandoned. And at one point, here's the picture, guys. He takes the grain and see how she has her shawl up, and he's pouring the grain into her shawl to take home for herself and for Naomi. And this is what God our Father in Christ has done for us. Poured it in. We don't deserve it. We're not in the promise. We don't deserve it. We should be thrown out. But he pours into our laps everything that is needed in Christ. And this is who our God is. God gave his own description of himself to the Israelites in Exodus 34. He says this about himself. I lavish love. I've told you, I lavish love, unfailing love to 1,000 generations. I forgive iniquity, rebellion, and sin, but I do not excuse the guilty. This is who our God is. This is his calling card. And he's saying that I lavish that love. But when it comes to our lives, though, too, we got to deal with the sin because I don't excuse it. I don't look the other way. But God had a plan for us, right? He had it in mind. And then he says this to Israel later through one of the prophets. He says, this is what I have told you is good. This is what I require of you, to do what is right. Do the next right thing. Do what is righteous in my eyes. To love mercy, to walk humbly with me. You see, this is what God requires of us. And this is what it looks like to dole out the full measure, right? And so he expects this of us. He expects us to forgive and give. That's what it means to show mercy, right? We give to others. We forgive to others with this same full measurement. Absolute full measurement. And you see, measuring up is a heart issue. That's the problem. God's trying to work on our hearts when it comes to forgiving and giving, because us trying to measure up to God, it's a heart issue. We've got to allow him into our hearts to do the mining, to do the work on us, to help us see where we don't measure up. And so it's this heart issue we got to deal with. And Jesus said this, as we go back into his prayer he taught us, I want you to see this heart issue that we have. We know the Lord's Prayer. Jesus said, he taught it to us. He says in the middle of that prayer in Matthew 6, give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Forgive us our sins in the same manner that I have forgiven the sins of others. There you see that. There you see that kind of coming back to you. It's the same principle Jesus is talking about. And then most of us don't quote this when we quote the Lord's Prayer. The very next verse, verse 14, is commentary Jesus gives on this statement in the prayer. He says, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. You have a very interesting if-then there. If you forgive, if you don't forgive, these are the things that will happen. So did Jesus mean this? Was he really talking about that? Yes. It matters to God how we forgive. It's so intense that he has made it very clear, even in the Lord's Prayer, that this is how we are to love. This is how we are to give. And this is how we need to deal with it. And so, hey, if I did a show of hands, I think every hand would go up in here that says, I struggle with forgiveness and giving in my life. We all do. But that's why God loved us enough to not leave us as we are, but to say, I want to press in. I want to help you grow in this area. And this is where Jesus is taking us to grow there. And so I want you to see this. Measuring up is a heart issue, folks. It's allowing God in to make your heart truly his home so that his presence fills the whole earth and he fills you as well. And so I'm talking to you, if you've never heard the story, never heard the truth that Jesus came to deal with the mess that is you, and he's given his life, he literally poured it out for you, and that he forgave all the sins in your life once and for all on the cross. If you trust in him to forgive you, then you are done. You're complete. You are whole in him. But the work is not done for God. He desires to continue to work with you, to walk with you, to mine out things in your life that need to go. And he's given you his spirit to help you grow in that. And believers, those of you that are believers, I cry out to you today to say, allow God in. Invite him into your heart to make his home in you, and let him work through what is happening with areas like forgiveness, areas like giving, because God wants to change you to be more and more like his son, Jesus. Amen? And so that's my invitation to you today. And so what we're going to do is we're not going to stand yet, but Tony's going to come up, and we're going to hear a song that is all about this. It talks about, and here's the words I want you to hear. It simply invites God to make his heart in us. Come and make my heart your home. Come and be everything I am, all I know. Search me, God, through and through, till my heart becomes a home for you. And that's my prayer for you today. And we're just going to let Tony sing this song over us. And I want you just to think and pray. Maybe where you're at today is you say yes to Jesus. Would you forgive me of my sins? Would you renew me and redeem me? And then some of you that are believers, maybe you need to say, no, Lord, I want you to clean house. Do whatever you got to do in me to change me, to make me more like Jesus, and give your life to him in that way as well. So bow your heads for just a moment and just listen to the words of this song and take a moment to pray before him.